Okay, I'm just letting you know. Singing the lead song should come to the middle, right? And then other people scoot over. Just come up, okay? Honey in the Who. Honey in the Who. Honey in the Rock.
The Bees. Psalms 81, 16.
Oh, Ashley, before it gets to like the end of a chorus, move it to the next slide, like right before. Yeah. Just for practice. Just move the slides real quick for the sake of just practice. Well. I just want to go over the whole song. I've never done it. I've never led it, so I wasn't here at practice. I did? Okay. Well, I just want to go over the song, but if y'all don't want to, we don't have to.
No, I'm telling you, let's go. But you did great. Don't worry about it. Let's sing. It's true. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. If you want to do it again, we're giving you the opportunity, Leslie, but I'm not going to go back and forth about it. I love you, but I'm telling you, let's do it. I said, yes. If you're going to do it, let's do it. I'm not going to argue about it anymore. All right, bet. Thank you so much. See y'all on at 10 a.m. Be on stage at least by 3 before. Thank you.
yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change, you don't change. Let my worship stay the same. Let my worship match your faithfulness, your consistency. You are the same. You don't change. You are the same. Oh my, great I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. You are, I am. My worship, you alone deserve my praise. You alone deserve the honor. So we lift you high, Yahweh. Yahweh, you alone deserve my worship. Yeah. You alone deserve my praise. You none beside you, reign on high, Yahweh, Yahweh, you reign on high. There's none beside, yeah, you reign on high, Yahweh. Yahweh, 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 that's who you are.
over our nation, we declare who you are. We declare who you are. Just like you announced yourself at the burning bush, you are the I am, the I am, the great I am, the great I am. Whatever you are is great. Whatever we need you to be is great. You are I am. Hallelujah. The great I am. You are I am. The great I am. You are I am. The great I am. Provider. You are I am. The great I am. Oh, my healer. You are I am. The great I am. Oh, my comforter. You are I am. The great I am. Oh, my Father. You are I am. The great I am. You are I am. The great I am. You're whatever I need you to be. The great I am. You are everything. Ooh, I need you to be. You are the great. Just praying today to a God whose hands are tied. Woo. We're not just singing today to a God who's trying to learn how to be something he's not. Woo. Hallelujah. We're singing and we're praying and we're worshiping a God, woo, who has been what he's always been. Hallelujah. Who has been what he is today. Hallelujah. And what he will be tomorrow. We're not declaring from a place, hallelujah, that is not sure, but we're standing on something and someone who is the great I am, everything that we've needed him to be. He is and has always been and will always be, hallelujah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we acknowledge that you are Yahweh, that you are great at whatever you are, that you are I am, that you are everything we need you to be. You are the great. nothing less than my devotion. God, speak to me and I will listen. Oh, I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. Oh, 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 you can have my heart. Woo. You can have my want my intercession, you got it. Ooh. You want my posture, Lord, you got it. Yeah. If you want me to seek you for 48 hours, you got it, you got it, you got it. You deserve it, you deserve it. Deserve it, 'cause you're worth it. Yes, you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth more. You're worth more. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, have my heart, have my heart.
Thank you. I need.
I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep moving. I have all that I need. You're all that I need. Yeah. I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, you keep providing.
Thank you.
you are pouring out in this place, God. We thank you for your anointing that is rich in this place, God. Have your way. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
We serve a God who isn't bound by time. A day is as 1,000 years to him. He was the same back then that he is today. We serve the same God. So he deserves some worship. He deserves the worship that is due his name. The same God that delivered you is the same God that delivered the 3 Hebrew boys. The same God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He is the same.
Calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh.
From them all. He has perfect credit. He has a 100% success record. The same God. He's the same God.
You are the same.
Yes, you are God.
You are the same.
didn't leave me where you found me. With your strong arm, you delivered me, God. You're a very present help in the time of trouble. You can't deny your word. I'm standing on every promise. Captives.
Come on, sing it out.
You're freeing hearts right.
You are the same.
You are the same.
You are the same.
You are the same God. You touch the lepers. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are.
Mighty river, come and fill me again.
Sing it again. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Come on, sing it out. I'm calling on you, Holy Spirit.
I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty river, come and fill me again.
We worship you, Lord. He is the same God. I said He is the same God. What does that mean? It means everything that He did in the past, He's still doing today, and He still will do it tomorrow. He hasn't changed. He hasn't lost His power. He's still a miracle-working God. When you read through the Bible, you see God as a miracle-working God. You see Him doing supernatural things. You see Him setting people free. You see Him healing people, providing for people, raising the dead, setting people free. This is what you see throughout the Scriptures. Everywhere Jesus went, crowds would follow Him just to touch Him because power went out of Him. And I want to tell you that Jesus is the same. And He is here in our midst today. Because the Bible says, if any two, where any two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, that He said, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus is in our midst today. And let me tell you, whatever you need, He wants to provide. He wants to heal you in your body. He wants to provide for your every need financially, materially. He wants to set you free from every addiction, from every bondage. He is the same God. And we want to pray right now. If you need prayer this morning, listen, please don't be shy. Come forward. Our prayer partner is going to be up here to pray for you. We see God do miracles all the time. We've seen miracles happen in this church because He is the same God. Amen. I think about Dolores there taking pictures when she was diagnosed with a brain aneurysm. And she started having blackouts in her vision. First of all, it was just a few seconds, and then it was 15 seconds, 30 seconds, until eventually, I think she blacked out for, was it a couple of minutes? 35 minutes. You blacked out for 35 minutes. You couldn't see anything. And she came to come to Bible college. She said she wasn't going to go to Bible college, but something prompted her. She felt the Lord prompt her. And you came to Bible college that night. And you were supposed to go for surgery the next day. And we prayed. We gathered around her and we prayed. And when she went to the surgery, when she woke up, they said, we couldn't find the aneurysm is gone. We couldn't find it. I can tell you many testimonies. I can tell you many stories of people in this church that have seen miracles happen. People in this church set free from addiction, set free from alcohol, set free from drugs. I just want to take a moment to let you know that when we come here, we come to meet with God, and Jesus is in our midst, and He's a miracle worker. I'm expecting miracles to happen. So if you need prayer today, if you need a miracle, you're in the right place. Say, I need a miracle in my body. You're in the right place. I need a miracle in my finances. You're in the right place. I want you to come right now. Come, and we're going to pray. And I want to pray for anyone who's watching today, wherever you may be watching this, whatever platform you're watching it on. I want to pray for you, because let me tell you, the Lord is right there with you. There is no distance in prayer. And we're going to pray right now. Father, I pray for every person that is watching this. I thank you that you are the same God. I thank you that you're a miracle worker. Lord, I pray, let your healing power flow right now. I command all sickness to go from you. In Jesus' name, I command your body to be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I thank you, Lord, for perfect health. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command every bondage to be broke, every addiction to be broken. I set you free in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for freedom right now. And someone watching this, suddenly they are set free from that which was holding them back, and that they'll never ever have that desire again in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening people right now. I thank you for filling people with your Spirit. I thank you for filling people with peace. I thank you, Father, for providing every financial need, whatever it may be. I thank you that you're the God who meets all of our needs. And Father, I ask you to supply every need in this person's life in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you all the praise now. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Lord, you alone are worthy to receive praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and that your mercy endures forever and that you are the same God, and everything that you've done in the pages of the Bible, that you still do it today, Lord, that you're still the miracle worker. You're still the healer, Lord. You're still the one who's able to do the impossible. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. If you're watching this today, just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I receive my miracle. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for setting me free. Just lift your hands and give God thanks and receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come on forward. We're going to sing our last song this morning, and the worship team's doing such a wonderful, amazing job today. We so appreciate each and every one of them. And we're singing a new song this morning, and it's called This Is the Kingdom. You know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. Say, when I seek first the kingdom of God, everything I need will be added to me. It will be given to me. Amen. Sing it with us, church. I know it's a new song, but I want to really encourage you to just forget about everything else that you got going on and just focus on worshiping the Lord today. Sing the song with us today. This is the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, This is the King. This is the King. This is the kingdom of heaven. Ask him, he will.
The kingdom. be added. All will be added. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. All will be added. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom.
Singing. He's calling us and he's saying, turn your eyes upon me. Fix your eyes upon me. Think of the kingdom. You say, what is the kingdom? You are citizens of a different kingdom, says the Lord. Don't forget the covenant that you have with me. Don't forget the kingdom promises that don't belong to everyone. They belong to those who belong to me, says the Lord. And as you seek the kingdom, and as you turn your eyes upon me, says the Lord, so the promises I have made will begin to manifest in your life. And your life will look different to those that are walking on their own. Your life will look different. You'll have a peace that passes understanding, says the Lord. You've been worried and you've been anxious and you've been fearful, but the word of the Lord comes to you today and says it's because your eyes are upon the natural, because you're looking at earthly things and you're thinking about how you can solve the situation that you're facing. But the Lord says today, just make a decision to turn your eyes upon me, and the peace that passes understanding will flood your heart and mind. And you will have a confidence that you can ask and he will, that you can seek and you'll find. You can ask and he will. You can seek and you'll find. The Spirit of God is calling us family. Don't walk as unbelievers do. Don't trust as unbelievers do. We are of another kingdom, says the Lord. This is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. If you've ever made Jesus Lord of your life, just say, I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, that worship just ushers in the presence of God, if you'll allow it to. You can be a spectator or a participator. Amen. I'm glad you're participating this morning. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how good they look today. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those that are watching online, Facebook, YouTube, on our app, on our website. We're glad you're joining us this morning for church. I love to be in church. You know why? Because the Christian life is not just a prayer that you pray to accept the Lord and that's it. As long as I don't go to hell and I land up in heaven, there's so much more. It's just a journey, right? And I love when we get together in church that we're continually growing and developing, and we're becoming strong as a group of believers and strong in our faith. Amen. Anybody feel like their faith has been stirred up today? Isn't that amazing? Just singing the right words, saying the right things, causes faith to rise in your heart. Amen. Well, we're so glad you're here, and I welcome everybody. Especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service here, we love having visitors. And we'd just like to honor you by giving you a gift bag right where you're sitting. Is anyone here for the first time today? Let me see. God bless you. Welcome. Thank you. Wave it again for Demony to see. Anybody on this side? We're so glad you joined us. And I know that all of us, we're always inviting people. And sometimes it takes a little while before someone comes. But we're so glad that you're here today. I pray that whatever it is you need, you get that. You hear exactly what you need today. And in that bag is a card, or in your seat front, it says guest. If you wouldn't mind just filling it out, we'd appreciate it. Drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service. So thank you for doing that. And then to mention again, we pass our clipboard down. It's for our members. It's an attendance register. It really helps us as pastors and staff to keep track of everyone and see if there's somebody that needs us. I know Pastor Steve's so good at giving people a call, and sometimes people are not here for a good reason, and they need someone to call them. So those attendance registers really help us to know who's here and who may need a call. So thank you for doing that when that comes by. We appreciate that. I just want to remind you of the different ways to watch. You know, sometimes we're watching Facebook Live. That goes down. You can always go to our website. You can watch on Ascend Church Jupiter. If you're watching, let us know where you're watching from. And comment on the service, get rid of all distractions, and go ahead and share that. Every time you share it, it's quite funny. We had a Spanish church that rented our building this weekend, and they had church here. Man, long services. And they live streamed. Pastor Steve said, sure, you can use our platform. So they used our platform. So a few people were like, we have a Spanish service going on. But what a blessing it is to have this technology to use as well. Doesn't beat being in church, though. Amen. I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that we would know God. Like I said, we're on a journey. What I knew when I first got saved about God was very little and was mostly inaccurate. And so it's a growth that happens. As you're sitting here, you don't realize, I think your family and friends see it. Josh, you think anyone's seen it in your life? Seen it in your life, right? The more you sit under the word, the more you come, you grow in your faith, you grow in your knowledge of who God is. You don't look at him, maybe how you grew up thinking about it. The book I'm reading, the nuns were telling the kids that the devil was going to get them, the devil was going to get them. You're like, you know, there's wrong teaching out there sometimes. So we need the word of God to correct that and get us biblically minded, right? And second of all, to find freedom. I love the hands that I saw go up when Pastor Steve said, many people here have been set free, and I just saw hands go up. Just thanking God for freedom. Discover your purpose. And lastly, make a difference with your life. Amen. Hello, Pastor.
Morning. Praise the Lord. I'm just checking in on Facebook, checking into Ascend Church. You check in already? You've got to check in every week, everyone. If you're on Facebook, check in. to Ascend Church, and then I'm sharing our live stream. Share the live stream. Like Pastor Jill said, we had a Spanish church that rented the building this weekend, and such sweet people. And I watched a little bit of the service. I couldn't really understand, but it sounded good. It looked good. And they had a lot of people watch. They had like 2,000 people watch Friday night. They had over 100 people share it. And so they had a lot of people watching the service here. And we just, you know, for me, I want this building to be used for the kingdom of God. I don't want this building to be sitting empty. So, you know, we want to rent it out. We'd do a great deal. I mean, you're not going to find any deal in all of Jupiter what we do, because I want to help churches and I want to have this building used, and I'd rather have services every night. I don't care what language it's in. And so anyway, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I want to especially welcome all those first time guests. We're so glad that you are here this morning. If this is your first time to Ascend Church, we're glad you're here. And I want to thank everybody who invited someone to come to church this week. You know, if this church is going to grow, it's going to happen through you. If it's going to grow, it's going to happen through you. That means that as you invite people and bring people, you know, sheep produce sheep. That's how the church grows. So I want to encourage you this week to take that little invite card that's sitting on your chair and really let the Lord guide you and invite somebody to come to church next Sunday. You know, we've just got a few weeks until Easter. April 17th is Easter. I hope you're thinking about that, because I would love to see a whole lot of people come to Christ this Easter. How about you? Amen? Are you ready for God's Word today? Are you ready? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Tell her, you better get ready. You better get ready. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. We thank you, Lord, that we can always count on you. We can always trust in you. That you, Lord, if you've said it, surely you will do it. Father, today, I thank you for anointing your word. I thank you for bringing understanding and revelation to every person who's listening. Lord, I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done. And I make it known that I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting you, Lord, that you will help me, that you will speak through me. And I thank you, Father, that every life will be impacted, changed, transformed by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to speak about what to ignore. That's what I want to speak about today, what to ignore. And I've discovered, thank you so much, Bronson, I've discovered that being a Christian now for 42 years, that if you are going to live in victory in your life, and if you're going to fulfill your God-given destiny, and if you're going to become everything God destined you to become, and have everything that He intended for you to have, and if you're going to live in peace, and if you're going to live with joy, you have to learn what to ignore. You have to be selective what you give your time and attention to. You've got to know what thoughts to ignore, what comments to ignore, what words to ignore. And, you know, the word ignore, I looked it up, and it means to refuse to take notice of. It means to refuse to acknowledge. To ignore means to intentionally not listen or not give your attention. That's what it means to ignore. It also means to pay no mind. And there's four things I want to talk to you about ignoring in your life. And the first one is you must ignore anything that disagrees with or contradicts the Word of God or discourages your faith. You've got to ignore anything that disagrees with God's Word or discourages you in your faith. And we see Jesus did this. One day a ruler of the synagogue, his name was Jairus, he came to Jesus and he asked him to come and pray for his little girl. She was 12 years old. She was very sick and she was at home and she was really at the point of death. And so Jesus immediately, you know, the Jairus said to him, Lord, if you come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. And so Jesus immediately went with him. And there were multitudes of people that were following. And on the way, Jesus got delayed. He got delayed by a woman who had an issue of blood, a flow of blood, for 12 years. And she'd been to many, many doctors, and they couldn't help her. But she heard about Jesus, and she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And the Bible says that she pressed through the crowd that was around Jesus. And when she touched him, the healing power of God went out of Jesus into her body, and she was instantly healed. Now, just at that moment, some people came from Jairus' house, that's where Jesus was headed to, and they told him that his daughter had died and that he shouldn't trouble the master anymore, that it was too late. And I love how Jesus responded. Remember, you've got to ignore anything that disagrees with the Word of God or anything that disagrees with your faith. And in Mark 5, verse 36, the Bible says, overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and fear. Do not fear. Keep on believing. Don't fear. Keep on believing. The Passion Bible says Jesus refused to listen to what they were told. So the Bible says Jesus heard what they said. They said, it's too late. Your little daughter, your daughter has died. And Jesus heard them, but he ignored them. You got to learn to ignore words of doubt that are spoken to you. Jesus ignored their words of doubt. He ignored the bad report. He told Jairus, ignore it, just keep on believing. And when they arrived at Jairus' house, there was a lot of commotion going on. There was people were crying and they were wailing. And Jesus said, what's all this commotion? What's all this weeping? The child is not dead. She's sleeping. And the Bible says in Mark 5, verse 40, everyone began to ridicule and make fun of him. You ever had anyone ridicule you, make fun of you because you're a Christian, because you believe this way? Listen, Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, was ridiculed and laughed at and made fun of. What did he do? He just ignored it. The Amplified Bible says they laughed and they jeered at him. But he put them all out and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with them and he went in where the little girl was lying. Jesus ignored their ridicule. Jesus ignored their criticism. And the Bible says in verse 41, holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kohum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around, and they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. She was instantly healed. If you're going to receive what you are asking and believing God for in your life, you have to ignore thoughts and words of doubt and fear and unbelief. You got to learn to pay them no mind. Ignore anything that doesn't agree with the Word of God. Whatever God says, whatever God promises, that is the truth. That is what I believe. Doesn't matter how it looks, I believe what God says. This is what Abraham had to do. God told Abraham he was going to have many children. They told him he was going to have a son. But Abraham was 99 years old, and his wife was unable to have children. In the natural, it was what God said was impossible. But Abraham chose to believe what God said and ignore what his body was telling him. And the scripture says in Romans 4, verse 19, he did not consider his own body. If you don't consider something, that means you ignore it. You pay it no mind. The Living Bible says he didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father. Do you know that that was a fact? But he didn't worry about the facts. He ignored the facts because if God said it, God will do it. Amen. Abraham ignored what his body was telling him. He ignored facts. See, when you believe in God for a promise or for a dream, you've got to ignore the facts sometimes. You've got to ignore your circumstances. You've got to ignore what you see. You've got to ignore what people say to you. You just keep on believing what God says regardless. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. We walk by faith, not by sight. See, when you live and you walk by faith, you can't focus on what you see with your physical eyes. And that, this isn't just talking about visual perception, because how many of you know you've got five senses? You've got, you know, your eyes and your hearing and your smelling and your touch and taste, five senses. So when the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, it's not just limited to what we see. But if you're going to walk by faith, you can't let what your senses tell you to dictate and affect your faith. You can't be moved by what you feel, by what you see, by what you hear, by what people say, because a lot of time people's faith is hindered because they look at what their senses are telling them, or they look at what they see with their eyes, instead of acting on God's word and believing it in faith and ignoring what they see. Because any time that you look to your senses above the word of God, you're going to lose the faith fight. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are just temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. The Passion Bible says we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but we focus our attention on what is unseen. You may say, well, what are you talking about? What was the focus of my attention on? Very simple. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Focus your attention on what God says. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep looking at what God says. Keep giving your attention to what God says. It says if you do, that God's word will be life to you. It will be medicine, healing to all your flesh. So the Bible tells us don't look at the things you can see with these eyes, but look and give attention to what God says in his word and keep that before your eyes. And anything that disagrees with what God says, I'm going to go with what God says. I'm going to ignore what I see or what I feel or what this one says or what that one says. I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to believe God. Amen. God tells us don't look at, don't consider, don't focus your attention on the things that are perceived by your physical senses, but rather give your attention and keep looking at what God's word says. Now, that doesn't mean we deny they exist. We don't deny the reality of it. We just don't give attention to it. We just ignore it. We don't let them influence our faith. See, if you're going to walk by faith, you've got to be willing to ignore what your senses are telling you and just keep on believing what God says, just like Abraham did. And Abraham received everything that God promised him. Amen. See, the news media may tell you how you better get ready, man. You're about to struggle. Oh, things are getting tough. And I don't deny that that's true. I don't deny that that's a fact. But you know what? My God is not limited by what's going on in the world's economy. My God is my source, and he is unlimited, and he can provide for me. Even if there's a famine going on, I can be provided for, and you can too. Amen? You see, the people may tell you, I filled up my motorcycle with gas yesterday. It cost me $18. Well, it usually cost me $10. It cost me $8 more than usual. And so, you know, you can look at the price of food. Everything is going up. That's a fact. But what does God say? In Philippians 4:19, that's what I'm looking at. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows with blessings. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. The government may tell you, you're going to get coronavirus and you're going to die. But God says in Psalm 91 verse 3, he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. So here's the question. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to ignore? Are you going to ignore what God says? Because that's what most of the church has done. Most of the church totally ignore what God says, and they went with what the CD says, man. That is like the Bible. Who are you going to give your attention to? I've chosen that I'm going to give my attention to what God says. I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to trust what God says, doesn't matter how things may look. See, you got to know what thoughts to ignore. You got to know what comments to ignore. You got to know sometimes what people to ignore. Because anything that would discourage you is not from God. And I'm not saying God won't challenge you, and but God won't condemn you, and God won't criticize you, and God won't discourage you. He's called the God of comfort. I encourage you, don't ignore what God says. I love Proverbs 13, verse 13. From the Message Bible, it says, ignore the word and suffer. If you ignore what God's word says, you're going to suffer. Honor God's commands and grow rich. The Amplified Bible says, whoever despises the word and despises the counsel of God brings destruction upon himself. But he who reverently fears and respects the commandment of God is rewarded. I want to be rewarded. How about you? The Living Bible says, despise God's word and find yourself in trouble. Obey it and succeed. I mean, it's very simple. Ignore the word of God, despise the word of God, don't do what it says, and pay the price. Or you can believe and do what God says, and you can reap the benefits. You got to know what thoughts to ignore, what comments to ignore, what people to ignore. You got to realize not every battle that comes across your path is a battle you're supposed to fight. Many battles, they're simply distractions to try and lure us off course, to try and take up our attention. If that battle is not between you and your God-given destiny, it's a battle you should ignore. I'm not getting into battles for the sake of getting into battle. I don't have time to get into argument with you on Facebook about what you believe. I ain't got time for that, man. That's a distraction. That person at work who's always gets on your nerves, man, they always make sarcastic comments. You can either try and fight that battle, you can try and straighten them out, you can try and prove to them, you know, that you're right. But if you do, you're wasting valuable time and energy that you should be using to pursue your dreams. That's a distraction. You've got to learn to ignore it. That family member never gives you any credit. They celebrate everybody but you. You can either let that upset you, live frustrated, or you can ignore it and say, you know what? No big deal. I don't need their approval. I have Almighty God's approval. God, if God is for me, who can be against me? It's very freeing when you realize you don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to straighten people out. You don't have to pay somebody back. You don't have to be offended because of what they said. You can ignore it and live life happy. I'm convinced we would enjoy life much more if we would just get good at knowing what to ignore. Number two, you've got to learn to ignore offenses. You've got to ignore offenses because we're all going to have the opportunity to be offended. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 1, he said, it is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, if Jesus says it's impossible that no offenses come, that means get ready because offenses are going to come. You are going to have the opportunity to get offended. And the word offense in the Greek language is the word scandalon. And it means a trap stick or a snare or a stumbling block, an occasion to fall or stumble. The word is really talking about a trap. And it refers to the part of a trap to which the bait is attached to try and ensnare an animal, try and just, you know, lure them all off. It really signifies laying a trap in someone's way. That's what an offense is in our life. It's bait that Satan uses, he sets to try and trap us, to try and stop us from fulfilling God's destiny for our life. And that's why if you read Luke 17:1 from the Amplified Bible, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, snares, traps set to entice to sin are sure to come. And if you read the New American Standard Bible, it says it is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come. So what you need to understand, Jesus said you've got to watch out for things that Satan's going to bring across your path like bait to try and trap you, to try and stop your destiny. I've seen so many people fall into this trap of offense. I remember one time when Prophet Ed Trout was at our church, we were back on we were in another building on Center Street, and I remember him giving this prophecy to this couple that were in our church, and I remember it so clearly. He said this to them. He said, "I really believe that you guys are going to prosper. Wealth is coming to you in the most amazing way. Just do it right. Don't get offended." He said to them, "Don't get offended in the church. Don't get offended about things around you. Don't take an offense." He said to them, "That will be the trick of the enemy. Both of you, don't do it. Just walk and be full of confidence. God's going to help you. Success is coming your way. Some serious money is coming your way." You know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. You remember it. That was a warning from the Lord. Don't get offended. And guess what? They didn't heed that warning. They got offended. They left the church. And that prophecy has yet to be fulfilled. I've seen people receive these amazing prophecies and words from the Lord, but they fell in this trap of offense. They got offended. They missed God's plan for them. I don't want you to miss God's best for you. I can't tell you, man, I can't tell you how many people have been through this church. And you say, "Well, Pastor Steve, is it just your church?" It's all churches. I talk to pastors all the time. But I can't believe the people that come through this church whose lives are transformed. And they come to me and I counsel them and I do their wedding and I get them set free and cast the devil out of them and teach them the word of God. And then they get mad at me. And then they're gone. And you may think you're hurting me, but if you leave a church offended, you fell into the trap of the enemy. He trapped you. And Jesus said this about the last days in which we live. In Matthew 24, verse 10, Jesus said, "In that day, many will be offended and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey. And they will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred." Jesus is talking about Christians in the last days. He said many will be offended. Many will fall away. Is that happening? That's a fact. You go and study the figures, the percentage of people attending church in America in the last 40 years has dropped drastically. Why? Because there's millions of Christians sitting at home offended instead of being in church. They're offended at somebody. They're sitting at home. I meet them all the time. Getting quiet in here, man. Getting quiet in here. No, you're here. Relax. You're here. But I meet people all the time. I'm not kidding. All the time. They're believers. They don't go to church. They got offended about something. Listen, let me let you in for a news flash. The church is made up of people who are imperfect. I am imperfect. You are imperfect. I'm doing my best. I'm following the Lord. I've made mistakes. I ask Him to forgive me. I've fallen down. I get back up. But you can't leave the church because someone's imperfect or someone made a mistake. You're never going to find a church because you ain't. Even Jesus, who was perfect, offended people and they left Him by the thousands. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, people left Him. So the problem is not with Jesus. The problem is not with the church. The problem is with me. Offense is everywhere. Jesus said, as long as you're here on the earth, offense is going to come. You better get ready. As long as you live in this world, someone's going to say something that you don't like, something you don't understand, something that hurts our feelings. There's always going to be reasons to take up an offense. And in today's world, it's not just the people around you, but it's from people you never met because of social media. These people are getting offended and fighting on social media with people they don't even know. Social media, everyone's opinion can go public. You read what someone said, it upsets you. Man, it makes you mad. I don't agree with that. Why would they say that? The next thing, you're in a big old war on social media. I can't tell you how many times stuff I read on social media, the dumbest stuff ever. I have to restrain myself. Don't say anything. Don't respond. Because when you respond, you look dumb too. Then you call up your brother, your sister, your friend. Can you believe what they think that? Can you believe that? You took the bait. You spent energy on that offense, things that really don't matter. It's not a battle between you and your destiny. We cannot take the bait of offense and live in peace and live in joy and live in victory. We can't swallow the bait and spend all our time trying to figure out what somebody meant, dissecting every word. What could anybody say that would be that important to my destiny that I'd get distracted and get in a big old battle with them? You got to learn to drop it, let it go. The quicker you let go of an offense, the more free you're going to be. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're amening today. Other day, a little while ago, I spilled some red wine in the bedroom on the carpet. It was late. I was in bed. And I got right up. And I cleaned it. Because I knew if I left it, the longer you leave it, the harder it's going to be to remove. So I got up right away and cleaned it. Do you know, it's the same way with offense. If you have a stain of offense on your heart, the longer you allow it to be there, the harder it is to get rid of. But the sooner you let it go, the better off you'll be. In Proverbs 19, verse 11, the scripture says, a wise person demonstrates patience, for mercy means holding your tongue. When you are insulted, be quick to forgive and forget, for you are virtuous when you overlook an offense. And the easy-to-read version says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook or to ignore an offense. The Bible says it's to your glory to ignore an offense. It does us no good to go around offended. If we're good at ignoring an offense, I promise you, you'll live a much more happy, satisfied, joy-filled life. Number three. You got to ignore the critics. Don't waste time engaging in conflicts that don't matter. Critics cannot keep you from your destiny. What they say about you, that doesn't define who you are. What someone does or doesn't give you, that doesn't determine your worth. That doesn't determine your value. Amen. You are a child of the Most High God. The creator of the universe breathed his life into you. You have seeds of greatness on the inside of you. You've been crowned with favor by God. God has already anointed you and equipped you and empowered you with everything that you need. God has chosen you. God has approved of you. Don't waste your valuable time trying to play up to people, trying to win over all your critics, trying to prove to someone that you really are important. Let me tell you, those are battles you're probably never going to win. You've got to accept the fact that some people are never going to celebrate you, that some people are never going to be for you. They're never going to recognize your gifts. That's okay. Don't get distracted, because God has already lined up the right people who will celebrate you and who will cheer you on and who will help you fulfill your destiny. Amen. One time Jesus was criticized a lot, man. Jesus was criticized often, but he ignored it. He was invited to dinner at a Pharisee's home. It was a religious leader. His name was Simon, and he invited Jesus to come over for dinner. But while Jesus was at dinner, a woman came into the house, and she was the town harlot, prostitute. She came into the house with an alabaster flask full of the most expensive perfume. And she knelt at Jesus' feet weeping, And her tears fell on Jesus' feet, and she wiped them with her hair, and she anointed his feet with the perfume from the alabaster flask. When Simon, whose home it was, saw it, he said to himself, "This man cannot be a true prophet, or he would never allow that kind of woman to touch him." Jesus said to the woman, "I forgive your sins." The Bible says in Luke 7:49, that set the dinner guest talking behind his back. You ever had anyone talk behind your back? Welcome to the club. That set them talking behind his back. Who does he think he is? Forgiving sins. He ignored them. Jesus ignored them. He didn't say, "You know who I am? I'll call fire down from heaven right now, burn you all up." He just ignored them. And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Jesus didn't allow them to distract him from his destiny. I think about when people criticized Jesus, when people came against Jesus. The Bible says often Jesus answered them not a word. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 23, it says, he never answered back when insulted. When he suffered, he didn't threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. You see, I'm not your judge, and you're not my judge. God is our judge. I leave my case in his hands. When people come against me, I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to let God deal with you. He's got a way of making things happen. Jesus didn't respond to his critics. He didn't try to convince them to change their mind. He didn't get upset because people were talking about him. He just ignored it. You've got to learn to do the same. When people come against you, people are jealous. They try to make you look bad. Remember, you're in good company, man. Jesus was criticized more than anybody else. And I love that he didn't try to explain himself. He didn't try to make everyone understand him or everyone like him. He just stayed focused. He ran his race. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what he was here for. He knew no one could stop his destiny. So he ignored his critics. And some of us, let me tell you, we could step into a new freedom in our life. You could see your life go to a new level if you would just stop fighting battles that don't matter. Someone's talking about you. Join the club. Just ignore it. Someone lied about you. Join the club. Just ignore it. Ignore it. Someone isn't celebrating you. Just ignore it. You don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to respond to every critic. You don't have to be offended because of what they said. You can do like Jesus, and you can simply ignore it. Amen? Let me tell you, some people, they won't be for you no matter what you do. I mean, even if you changed and met all their demands and did everything they're asking, they'd still find something wrong. I mean, you could go buy them a brand new BMW, and they'd say, "Well, I really wanted a Mercedes." They'll overlook the good and find some kind of fault. But let me give you a secret. Save you a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. Ignore it. Just ignore it. Just pay it no mind. You don't need their approval. You don't need to have them cheering you on. They may try and make you look bad, but let me tell you, when you stay on the high road and you let God fight your battles, the more they talk, the more God will bless you. He will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. They try and take you down, but God will use it to take you up. But the key is don't be distracted, because it's easy to want to fight every battle and pay every person back and straighten every person out. "Well, what they said was wrong, Pastor Steve. I'm going to prove to them that I'm right. I've got to defend myself." You've got to ask yourself, even if I get involved and I win the battle, what is the prize? What do I win? Is it going to advance me toward my destiny? Or is it just a distraction that's going to steal my time and energy? I think we'd be amazed at how many battles we get in that really don't matter. Life would be so much enjoyable. And we would accomplish so much more if we would just learn what to ignore. Amen. The energy we spend fighting about things that don't matter, trying to prove to someone how, you know, we're important, trying to win over our critics. That's energy we're not going to have to pursue our God-given dreams. A world-famous, renowned, well-known minister, he was asked, if you could do it all over again, is there anything that you would do differently in your life? And he said, yes, I would ignore a lot more. I wouldn't respond to every critic. I wouldn't waste time arguing about things that don't matter. I wouldn't spend so much energy trying to make someone understand me or someone accept me. Let me tell you, many of us would see our lives go to a new level if we would just start ignoring things that really are not important to our destiny. King Saul had to do this. God chose King Saul to be the first king of Israel. The prophet Samuel anointed him. And most people were excited and they congratulated Saul. But when Saul got back home, the people who knew him best, his longtime friends, they didn't like Samuel's choice. It wasn't Samuel's choice, it was God's choice. They began to laugh and ridicule and mock Saul. They despised him. They said, Saul's not our king. He's not a leader. He doesn't have what it takes. How could you choose him? The truth is they were jealous of Saul. They were so insecure and intimidated that they had to try and push Saul down so that they would look better. Amen? You see, when people belittle you, they are being little. Small-minded people won't celebrate you. Small-minded people will be jealous. They'll gossip. They'll try and make you look bad. But here's a secret. Don't ever forget. Don't fight battles with small-minded people. Your future is too big to be distracted by somebody who's small-minded. I'm asking you today to ignore things. Some of us, we're all worked up over something insignificant. We're allowing small-minded people to steal our joy and keep us from what really is important, from what for God's destiny for our life. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, if they'd stop talking about me, I wouldn't be so upset. Let me give you a newsflash. If someone quits talking about you, somebody else is going to start talking about you. There's always someone talking about us. You just may not realize it. Don't let it bother you. After all, God hears what they're saying, and God will make it up to you if you keep your eyes on Him and keep your heart right. Let me tell you, if God is for me, who can ever be against me? You got to quit being frustrated because someone is not celebrating your gifts. You got to use your energy to improve your skills. Be the best you can be. And God will bring the people across your path who will celebrate you. Saul could have easily lost his focus and, you know, he could have said to those people who were making fun of him, he could have retaliated. And, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I am a good leader. I've got it, what it takes. I'll show you. He could have gotten distracted and spent all his energy trying to prove who he was. But what did he do? In 1 Samuel 10:27, it says, they scorned him. And they refused to bring him gifts, but Saul ignored them. He just ignored them. The Message Bible says they held him in contempt and they refused to congratulate him, but he paid them no mind. My message to you today is pay no mind to jealous people. Pay no mind to people who won't celebrate you, people who try and make you look small. Pay no mind to that. Ignore their comments. Ignore their insults. Ignore the naysayers. They don't control your destiny. God is the one who controls your destiny. They are simply distractions trying to keep you from God's best in your life. Amen, someone? Saul understood this. He knew not everyone's going to be for him. He didn't waste his time trying to convince them. And in the same way, if you're going to fulfill your destiny, you've got to do what Saul did. Instead of playing up to people, trying to win over your critics, trying to prove to people how important you are. No, just ignore it. Don't lose any sleep over somebody who's not for you. Don't give your attention to someone who doesn't value who you are. Amen. If Saul had gotten engaged in that conflict, trying to win over all the naysayers, he would have never become who God called him to be. And your destiny is too great to get distracted by jealous, critical, small-minded people. If you focus on what they're saying about you and how they're doing you wrong and how they're not giving you any respect, and if you put your focus and attention on that, if you let that poison get on the inside of you, before long, you'll end up fighting a battle that you were never supposed to fight. You've got to ignore their comments, Pay no attention to their insults. They're not going where God is taking you. You called to be an eagle. You called to soar and do great things for the Lord. The scripture says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. They'll rise up with wings and soar like eagles. You see, God calls you to be an eagle. In this life, we're going to have some crows crowing at us, some chickens pecking at us, some hawks trying to fight with us, some turkeys trying to, you know, torture us. Don't get drawn into those battles. You're an eagle. You can fly at heights that no other bird can fly. They've spotted eagles as high as 20,000 feet in the air. A crow is known to pester an eagle. Even though an eagle is larger, a crow is more agile. It maneuvers quicker. And at times a crow will fly right behind an eagle and follow it, try and annoy it, aggravate it. There's a picture. That's a picture of a crow on top of an eagle right there. But you see, an eagle knows the secret that I'm telling you. An eagle knows it can fly at altitudes that a crow cannot. So instead of getting upset, trying to pay the crow back, the eagle just simply rises higher and higher, and eventually the crow just falls away. So what am I saying? When someone's trying to pester you, they're being jealous, they're trying to make you look bad, they're trying to peck at you, don't be a crow. Don't get in there and fight with them and try and pay them back. You're an eagle. Just rise above that. Just rise above it. Amen? Don't let it bother you. Don't respond to every criticism. Don't waste your valuable energy fighting battles that are not necessary. All you got to do is come up higher. And the crows and the chickens and the turkeys, man, they can't soar where you are able to soar. They can't go where you're able to go. So you just set your face like flint and run the race that God has set before you. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Just stay focused and do what God has called you to do. Because after all, when we come to the end of our lives, we're not going to give an account to the critic. We're not going to give an account to the person who didn't believe in us. We're all going to give an account to Almighty God. And I want to stand before Him with my head held high and say, Lord, I did my best. I ran my race. I finished my course. I didn't quit. I didn't get offended. I became who You created and destined me to be. That's what I want to hear the Lord say. That's true fulfillment. That's when you're going to receive your reward. Amen. Now, I'd like everybody to like me. But I realized a long time ago, as hard as it is to believe, not everybody's going to like me. Not everyone's going to like you. But you see, I've got to ask myself, am I living to please people or am I living to please God? See, Paul, the apostle, understood this. He said in Galatians 1, verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. The Passion Bible says, I'm obviously not trying to flatter you or water down my message to be popular with men. See, I'm not willing to water down my message to be popular with people. My supreme passion is to please God. I'm going to stand before Him. I'm going to give an account to Him. Jesus said in John 5:41, your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Whether you approve of me or disapprove of me, and I say this in all humility, but whether you approve of me or not means nothing to me. What matters to me is if God, if He approves of me. That's what matters to me. I can't water down God's word to be popular. I have to accept the fact that not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone's going to understand me. But that's okay. They didn't understand Jesus either. And they didn't celebrate King Saul either. I'm going to do what they did. I'm going to pay them no mind. I'm going to become a professional ignorer. I'm getting good at it. I'm pretty good at it, right? I'm pretty getting too good at it. She's like, I told you this. She told me something last night. What was it you told me? You tell me a lot of stuff, babe, a lot of stuff. She told me something and I couldn't remember it. I mean, it just went out my mind. She told me to get Brady. I came to pick up Brady. Friday, I had a meeting here, and I said, I'll go for the meeting. I'll pick up Brady. Well, I was sure she told me Brady was at his dad's house. So I went to his dad's house, and he was at his mom's house. And she, I told you that. I don't think you did. I'm sure you told me that. But I've become a professional ignorer. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I believe in treating people with respect. I believe in being kind to people, being considerate to people. But I'm saying don't waste your valuable time trying to win over people who are never going to be for you. If someone doesn't celebrate you, you got to shake the dust off your feet and move on, man. Move on. If they're not for you, be kind, be considerate. But shake the dust off your feet. Don't waste an ounce of your energy trying to convince them to like you. Because let me tell you, there is an anointing on your life not to be someone else. You're anointed to be you. And when you let people try to squeeze you into their mold and bow down to their pressure, try to please all the critics, it takes away your power. It takes away your uniqueness. Don't pay any attention to those who don't celebrate you. Don't lose any sleep. Don't try and win them over. Just run your race with focus and with purpose and with integrity. Run the race God has for you. When you stay focused on what God's put in your heart and you don't get distracted by the critics and the naysayers and you ignore the jealous, small-minded people, listen, I'm so glad all the forces of darkness cannot keep you from where God wants you to go. Some of you, you need to break free. You're not anointed to keep everybody happy. You're anointed to run the race that God has set before you. And if you're going to do anything great in life, there's going to be critics. If you're going to be a great business person or a great coach or a great student or a great leader, there's going to be opposition. And there's going to be people who judge and get jealous. And let me tell you, if you get kicked in the rear, it means you're out front. When people come against you, they're jealous, they're critical. Take it as a compliment. It's because you're making a difference. You're doing something. Because let me tell you, in a race, nobody's focused on who's in 20th place. All eyes are on the forerunners, first, second, third. The majority of the attention is on the winner. And I believe I'm looking at a group of winners here today. I believe I'm looking at people who are making a difference here today. People who are pursuing God-given dreams and goals and doing great things in life. I believe I'm looking at a group of winners here today. And my point is, the more success you have, the more opportunities you're going to have for distraction and to get offended and to get upset. Because the higher you go, the more the haters come out, man. The higher you go, the more the haters come out. When you start stretching to a new level, you start pursuing what God has put in your heart. Let me tell you, the jealous, critical, small-minded people will come out of the woodwork, start making negative comments, criticizing you. That's when you're going to dig your heels in and set your face like flint and say, I will not get distracted. I won't get drawn into battles that don't matter. I'm not going to quit because someone's talking about me. I'm not going to give up because my good friend got jealous of me and started talking about me. I will not stop believing the word of God because of how my circumstances look. I won't get discouraged because someone's not celebrating me. I'm not a people pleaser. I'm a God pleaser. And I'm going to run my race and I'm going to finish my course in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm almost done. Hang in there. I'm almost done. People don't like you preaching too long. I'm just going to ignore that. The more God promotes you, the better you got to be at ignoring. Life's too short to be upset because someone's talking about us. Amen. Be offended because of a jealous coworker trying to make you look bad. Or go around frustrated because a family member doesn't celebrate you. Don't get drawn into those battles. Do like King Saul, ignore it. Pay it no mind. Run the race God has set before you. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to sit around and think about all the people that don't like me. Our time is too valuable to try to spend it figuring out how we can please everybody, how we can win over every critic. No, rather when you get up, search your heart. Make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. Because let me tell you, you should consider constructive criticism. It's good. The scripture says in Proverbs 10:17, this is for you. Proverbs 10:17, people who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Proverbs 15:32, listen to this. Refusing constructive criticism shows you have no interest in improving your life. For revelation insight only comes as you accept correction and the wisdom that it brings. The Living Bible says to reject constructive criticism is to harm yourself and your own best interest. Now, let me make this clear. Constructive criticism is good and it's positive. Constructive criticism gives specific recommendations of how to make positive improvement. But destructive criticism is different. Destructive criticism is negative. It seeks to tear you down. It doesn't offer any encouragement. It doesn't offer any improvement. It just tears you down. Now, I'm open to constructive criticism. If you come to me, and I've had people come to me and say, listen, I've got a great idea for this for the church, I will listen. And very often, I've received wisdom. Because you've got to be willing to receive constructive criticism. You may not understand or realize this, but every Sunday, you're getting constructive criticism. Because the Word of God corrects you. But destructive is totally different. I know some people who think more about what others say about them than they do about pursuing their own dreams and goals. Listen, you've got to quit dwelling on the negative things that people have said about you, because all that'll do is poison you. And before long, you become defensive, trying to prove to everybody, I really am okay. No, you've got to be so secure in who God called you to be that those comments bounce off you like water off a duck's back. You got to be so confident in your calling that you don't have to have everybody cheering you on. You don't have to have everybody's approval. You have God's approval. The Apostle Paul, he faced a lot of criticism also, but he knew this truth. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know how badly we were treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. He said, we speak as messengers approved by God and entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. Some people questioned Paul's motives. They questioned his integrity. Some people didn't approve of him. But he said, that's okay. God approves of us. He said, we live to please God, not to please people. You don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to respond to every critic. You don't have to be offended because of what they said. You can do like King Saul and ignore it. Remember, you're not a crow. You're an eagle. You can rise above it. Amen. And then lastly, and I'll wrap it up with this. I'll close it with this. Oh, Lordy, I've been going a long time today. Can you handle a few more minutes today? Well, compared to the Spanish church, I'm not. I'm getting just started here. I'll close it out with this. The fourth thing you've got to avoid, you've got to ignore is distractions. The scripture says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking away from all that would distract us, and focusing our eyes on Jesus. Look away from everything that would distract you from the Lord. Anything that distracts you from Jesus. There are people that are not here today. They're not in church today because they were distracted by something else. One of Jesus' greatest parables was the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. And he taught how how the enemy tries to steal God's word from us. And in Mark 4 verse 19, I'd encourage you to read the whole parable, but I'll just read one verse. It says in verse 19, the distractions of this age, with its worldly pleasures and the deceitfulness and the false security and glamour of wealth or fame and the passionate desires for all the other things, creep in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Let me tell you, the enemy is trying to steal God's word from you. That is what is most important. He's trying to steal God's word. And one of the ways he does it is by distracting us. And you've got to learn to ignore anything that would distract you from the Lord, distract you from the word of God, from his destiny for your life. You've got to learn to ignore that. That's what Nehemiah did. God called Nehemiah to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And he and his men, they got started. But they had two main critics. Their name was Sanballat and Tobiah. And they were constantly criticizing Nehemiah, trying to make him look bad, trying to distract him. They said, Nehemiah, he's not a builder. He doesn't know what he's doing. If a fox runs on that wall, it's going to come falling down. And the whole time, Nehemiah and his men, they had to listen to these two men, belittle them, ridicule them. And these two men, they wanted to meet with Nehemiah. And they kept pestering him. So what did Nehemiah do? It says in Nehemiah chapter 6, so I sent messengers to them, and I said, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them the same manner. So four times, we've got to meet with you. We've got to meet with you. I ain't got time to come meet with you. I'm busy building this wall. I can't stop what I'm doing. He ignored them. He let it go in one ear and out the other ear. And when that didn't work, they went to the city leaders and they started spreading lies about him. And they said, Nehemiah, he's not building this wall for our good. He's building a kingdom for himself. He's going to try and take over. They try to sow these seeds of discord, and they started questioning his motives. And don't you know, man, Nehemiah was tempted to come down off that wall and shut them up. But he was smart enough to realize that they were just a distraction, and he chose to ignore it. And he went on to build that wall in the record time of 52 days. They rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days because he didn't let himself get distracted. And let me tell you, anytime God puts a dream in your heart and you start pursuing your goals, you can be sure the Sanballats and the Tobias, they're going to show up. Let me tell you, but the mark of a true champion is knowing what battles to fight. Like with Nehemiah, many battles should just be ignored. Nehemiah knew if he came off that wall, man, he knew if he spent his time and energy fighting those men, maybe he would have defeated them, and maybe that would have made him feel good, but it would not have advanced him toward his destiny. And family, he chose to be an eagle. He chose to rise above it. I'm asking you today to do the same thing. Be selective what you give your attention to. Don't get caught up in battles that don't matter. Learn to do like Nehemiah. Ignore the Sanballats and the Tobias. Do like King Saul. Ignore the people that are not celebrating you. Amen. Be like Jesus. Don't respond to your critics. Pay them no mind to jealous, cynical, small-minded people. Ignore anything that would discourage your faith, because if you'll get good at knowing what to ignore and not be distracted by things that don't really matter, let me tell you, God will fight your battles for you. Just like with Nehemiah, the more they talk, the more God will promote you. You will accomplish your dreams in record time. You will overcome obstacles that seem impossible. You will defeat every enemy. You will become everything God destined you to be. But you got to learn what to ignore. Amen. Bow your head for a moment. Father, I pray for every person that's here today, every person that's watching this. You know what they're going through. You know, Father, what they're dealing with. I just thank you for encouraging each one, strengthening each one. I thank you for helping us, Lord, that we all may, like you, learn to ignore things that disagree with your word, comments that people make. Lord, thank you for helping us to be able to become professional ignorers. We ignore that, and we're not distracted, and we keep our focus and our attention on you and on your word and on your destiny and your plan, your purpose for our life. I thank you right now, Lord, that you minister into each and every person. While your head is bowed and while we have our eyes closed, I want to pray also, if there's anyone here this morning If you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is if you died today, can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every sin, every mistake you ever made in your life is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, pray for me too. I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and the Lord. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Dear friend, there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, I want to ask you quickly right now, just shoot your hand up. Just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand up high. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. Lift your hand up, say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in your prayer. I want to make sure that all is right with me and the Lord. Is anyone that would raise up the hand? No? All right. Praise the Lord. I want to just say before I hand back to you, and that is we are excited. On Sunday, May the 1st, we are starting Ascend Youth Ministry right here at 5 o'clock. Will be our first Ascend Youth service. And I really want to encourage all teenagers to come and be. It's going to be a great time. Where's Abel at? Where'd you go, Abel? Oh, there you are. And where's Michelle? Michelle's back there. Abel and Michelle together are going to be leading the youth ministry. Now, they are not married. They are not dating. They are friends. But I just felt like the Lord brought them together as a team. They're both sold out to the Lord. And I like the fact that we have a man and we have a woman to be able to lead the teenagers. We got both. So that starts on Sunday, May the 5th. And then my last thing I've got to say is that Easter is just a few weeks away. And I felt this last year and I didn't do it. And I'm doing it this year. This year we're going to do a Good Friday service on Friday, April 15th at 7 p.m. We're going to do Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday is April the 17th. Now, you know, Friday, we're going to have two different services. I'm going to preach two different sermons. Because Friday is when we remember Jesus giving his life and being crucified. And we remember the price that he paid. And we remember all that he suffered. Then Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection. So Friday night, we're going to do communion. I'm going to talk about the price Jesus paid. Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I really would encourage you to come to both services. I will be at both services. My wife will be at both services. We'll be preaching at both services. The worship team will be at both services. And this is two opportunities for you to invite someone. I want that Easter weekend to be our biggest weekend we've ever had at Ascend Church. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I want Easter to be our biggest weekend we ever had at Ascend Church. What do you say? Tell us about, you're going to tell.
I've got a few things that I'm going to tell.
Go ahead.
But I just want to say on that I feel like this, you were handed these as you came in. If you didn't get one on your way out. It says scripture-based prayers to pray for your pastor. And let me tell you, when people get offended in church, they usually get offended at the pastor for whatever reason. Something he said, he didn't say, he should have said a different way, whatever. You won't ever get offended if you pray for your pastor. So Pam said, she asked us, she said, this is the most incredible scriptural prayers. Do you mind if I buy them and give them to members of the church? And we've got such a strong prayer team in this church. Let me tell you, you'd have a very peaceful week if you knew how hard these people pray for you. I mean, this morning, even when I walked past the door, we have prayed before service. They are praying, calling on God for you, for your family, for this church, and we are thankful. And come and join us sometime. And every second Thursday night, pray a strong prayer team. Amen. But pray these prayers. We would appreciate it. Just to let you know, this is a time in the service where we have a chance to give into the kingdom of God. That's the way this church is supported. Every ministry around the world, that's the way they're supported, by the tithes and offerings of God's people. God's people support God's kingdom. Amen. And I'd just like to read four verses from Luke, because you give according to the word of God, not because I twist your arm or somebody else tells you to do it. You do it because the word of God says it. Amen. And there's various ways to give. They're up on the screen. They'll come up on the screen. Real easy ways to give. Thank you for putting them up there. But there also is an envelope right in your seat. And I'm going to read just four verses from Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 16. Jesus said, I tell you, learn from this. Make friends for yourself for eternity by means of the wealth of unrighteousness. That is, use material resources as a way to further the work of God. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said it. You can use material resources to further the work of God, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. That's talking about we're going to get to heaven. There are going to be people that are in heaven because of your giving. And you're going to, it's going to be acknowledged and rewarded what we do for the kingdom of God. Then he went on and he said, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. He who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of earthly wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you've not been faithful in the use of, if you've not been faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, and of which you are a trustee, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll stand devotedly by the one and despise the other. And then Jesus says, let me tell you what I'm talking about. You can't serve both God and mammon, or another translation says money. That is your earthly possessions or anything else you trust and rely on instead of God. So these few verses really just, I think it just underscores the fact that God wants our trust to be in him. He doesn't want our trust to be in anything else. And we, as humans, we have this tendency to let our trust be in money because it's security, because we feel better when we, you know, it just makes us feel better. So we tend towards trusting in what we have. Amen. Or thinking, if I had enough, I'd be okay. So he's saying that we should trust him. And he's saying there's a very simple test. If you can be faithful with little, you can be faithful with much. And he says, if you can't be faithful with little, I can't give you any more, because I can't trust you with more. Our Brady, our grandson, he got $14. They were having a big discussion. Our daughter Nadine and him were coming into church this morning, and they're having a serious discussion because he got $14, which came out of my purse. But she was telling him, your tithe, Brady. Give your tithe today. So then she said, take two of those dollars to kids' church today. And he's like, his father's an accountant. So he was like, it's $1.40, Mom. She's like, make it an offering, Brady. Give it to him. So be faithful in little. God will give you more. Amen. You open the door to more. So thank you for your faithful giving. Go ahead and do it. Those that are watching online, thank you. We have people that we see their offerings. We don't see them. Come back to church. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person. I thank you, Father, you know what situation they're in. You know if they have little or if they have much. You know if they're suffering lack or abundance. Father, I thank you that you are the God who supplies every need. I thank you, Father, for supplying each and every person, Father, new jobs, new opportunities, new contracts. Thank you for honoring your word in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have just a couple of announcements as the ushers pass that by. Pastor Steve, we're going to Maria. Where are you, Maria? Come, you and Vash, come up here for a minute. I just want to talk about our Love My City. We've done a few outreaches. We said that we're going to focus on our community this year, and so we've been doing a different outreach every single month, locally. So the first month in January, that's not the one I want. I want the other one. In January, we went with Heart of God Missions. We did the clothing drive. We filled this whole lobby up with clothes, and we donated that. So that was from our church. No.
Better tell.
No, there were two new ones. One has all. No. Don't worry about it. In February, we had a women's networking event. We raised money, and we took the funds and we donated it to Hannah's Home, which is a home for young mothers that have nowhere to go with their children, just here in Tequesta. And then in March, we went to a group of people, parents and children, members of our church and kids from our church, went to Quantum House down by St. Mary's. And they played with those kids. These are kids that are in long-term care that are having all kinds of treatment. I don't need it, Abel. They're having all kinds of treatment. The kids, they went and played games with them, did all kinds of things. We're going back there because it was such a success. So that's something we're doing. But we have a new one coming up for April. April 25th, which is a Monday, we are going to go to St. George's Center and feed the homeless. Right, there's about 150 to 200 people that get fed, and we got brave enough, Demony made us brave enough to say we will also cook the food, right? So we've got two opportunities for you to help. First, go to the lobby, sign up, say, I will cook. We'll provide the food. There's a certain menu. We'll provide the food, say, I will cook or I will serve. That's what we're asking for. And there's limited space, so go ahead and sign up for that. And then, Maria, won't you just come up with Vash? Doesn't everybody love Maria and love Vash? Huh? I'm going to tell them. Maria got saved in our church. How many years ago was that?
Almost
7.5 years ago, she got saved in our church. And Vash was a little baby then.
Seven.
Look how big he is now. And so Maria has been our children's director, and she's done just such a phenomenal job. Let me tell you, the stuff people do behind the scenes, I take my hat off to her. And she's a single mom. She's a hard worker. She's looked after ailing parents. Both passed away. In all that time, she's done nothing but be faithful to serve the children in this church. And we are eternally thankful. The parents are, and we are. And her time in coordinating our children's church has come to an end. And we're very, very sad about that. But there are seasons that happen. And, you know, Vash, Maria's just, she, talk about training up a child in the way they should go. She just roped Vash in, and he's been working that kids' church and blessing those young boys, and we're so thankful for everything you've done too. And Pastor Steve, will you pray over them? Thank you. And pray for me, because I've got to do what she's been doing. I'm going to phone you 50 million times. Pray over them. Thanks.
All right. Lord, we thank you for Maria and Vash.
Stretch your hands out to them.
We thank you, Lord, for their faithful service here.
Yes, Lord.
In your kingdom and in children's ministry. We thank you for all the lives that have been impacted because of them, Lord.
Yes.
And we just pray, Father, in this new season that you will bless them and guide them and
yes.
and favor them, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
thank
Father.
You,
we just thank you, Lord, for Maria and Vash, and we're grateful, Lord, and we just know, Father, that you are rewarding them and you will reward them for everything that they have done for your kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And teachers, remember, we're going to lunch
after
service with them. Lastly, just to mention that I'm going to be doing a children's church, a team meeting on April the 25th, which is a Tuesday night. And April 5th, sorry. Thank you, my darling. 25th is your birthday. And we are recruiting teachers for our children's ministry. And last week we had two men step up that I said, why do the children only get females teaching them the Bible? They need some male examples.
That's right.
And
that's
all right. We're asking for, we have a full-on that's church right. service that runs in our children's yes. ministry every week. We provide all the material. It's laid out. It's simple
Thank
to
you.
Follow. It's videos. It's exciting.
Thank
we
you.
Ask you for one Sunday a month. So I'm asking you to go to the lobby, sign up, just say I'm interested. I'll tell you more about it, and we appreciate that.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank all of our servant leaders, everyone who served today. We really appreciate all those who served in children's ministry, our media team, our usher team, our worship team. Thank you, everyone who served. We really do appreciate it. Amen. Remember this week, I'm going to ask you, as you go home, I'm going to ask you this week to be mindful to invite somebody next Sunday to come to church and be thinking about Easter as well. Father, we thank you. That we go home today, we thank you that you are with us, you are for us, and you are in us, Lord. We thank you for your angels that encamp about us and protect us wherever we go, Lord. Thank you that we are protected by you, we are favored by you. We thank you for this week, Lord. We're expecting great things. We're expecting to see blessings this week. We're expecting, Lord, to see your goodness this week, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you were here today. We love you, everyone. We'll see you next Sunday.
His face shine upon you, be gracious. the faith.